Welcome to River Life Podcasts. We're a church family embracing the Father's presence, releasing empowered people to declare and demonstrate Christ's kingdom. We trust that God would use what you hear today to bless and grow you so that you would be a blessing to those around you. For more information about River Life Baptist Church, go to riverlifechurch.org.au or find us on social media.
You know, today is typically known as Palm Sunday or Jesus' triumphal entry. And I want to read you the passage out of Mark that describes that. Mark chapter 11, if you've got your Bibles there with you, let's turn to that. Palm Sunday, you know, I remember as a kid, it'd be the sort of day at Sunday school where you'd grab your palm branches that were the accessory for the day. And I think there was more whipping of other kids with those than anything else. But still, it was our understanding because of what happened when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that day before Passover, the Sunday before Passover. And so let me read you that passage. It'll be coming up on your screens as well. It says, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Tell him the Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly. They went and found a colt outside in a street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, what are you doing untying that colt? They answered, as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. And when they brought the colt to Jesus, they threw their cloaks over it, and he sat on it. Many spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they'd cut from the fields. And those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. Every culture has its story about heroes. It's something innate, I think, within our own nature to want a hero, to look for heroes within our society. It's been going on since time immemorial that we look towards these hero figures, these heroes that would walk in and come along, someone who's bigger and someone who's stronger, someone who's smarter, someone who will come in and to be able to help set things right in a world that seems just so messed up. We need someone to come in and help make a way maker. I tend to think that most people don't know quite the way that they want to go or in which way is the right direction, but we're all looking for something to take us to somewhere slightly better. Lots of times our heroes are the pioneers who forge us further, who lead us along somewhere, take us down a better path. And today, amidst even the Marvel heroes that are still on the big screen, it seems like more than ever, today's heroes are fairly ordinary people who somehow seem to find a voice. I don't know about you, but at this moment when we're kind of all restricted away and we're watching our screens probably more than ever, there's a whole bunch of people who are finding a profile through a screen as well. And that being said, as I do this, but nonetheless, you find all sorts of people who are trying to find and have a voice. Ordinary people who are looking to make their voice louder. The Greta Thunbergs of the world. Not that I'm a fan, I'm just saying that in the world, people are looking for people who seem ordinary, who would stand up and have a voice to make things better. It's like there's a belief that we all need to be either better educated or if we're just more informed, we're going to progress on to some type of secular utopia. The world will just be a more progressive, a better place. They share their message of hope for this better world, this better place, this better future, has very little to do with religion, has certainly nothing to do with Christianity quite often in the way in which it's expressed. In Jesus' day, they were waiting for a hero. All of Israel was waiting for a hero. They called him the Messiah. You see, for many centuries, the people of Israel, They had been oppressed, they'd been taken over, they had been run down, there'd been other forceful nations and countries come in and take over. They knew that they'd been called to live and establish this kingdom that had been promised to them, that was going to be their inheritance. And they didn't seem to be able to make it happen. You know, the word Messiah in the Hebrew language means anointed one. In a literal sense, it means to be anointed with oil. And we take an understanding of that throughout Scripture. That also means to be anointed by the Spirit. In Old Testament times, kings were the main ones who were anointed. You'd sometimes get prophets, you'd sometimes get priests who were anointed, and that certainly happened. But the majority of people who were seen as the anointed ones, the ones that were anointed by God to take on something, to bring about his kingdom, were kings. They were the ones, like King David out of Scripture. So the Jews thought primarily of a Messiah as a king. Synonymous to them were these two words. They didn't think that the Messiah would be a divine figure. You see, we understand it that way because we've got history now to reflect upon and understand, and we roll all of that together in an expectation that the Messiah, you know, is going to be a divine, you know, bringing a kingdom of another world. But right then, in the time of Jesus, that was not the expectation. The expectation was that this Messiah was going to do two main things. They were going to come and they were going to set the Israelites free from the oppression, the captivity that they had from their oppressors, no matter who it was, at various stages of history. And secondly, that they would restore the right practices in the temple for temple worship. These two things were what the people of Jesus' day were waiting for in their Messiah. Now, understand this, that the Greek word for Messiah is Christ. You see, sometimes when I would say to you, Jesus Christ, we treat like that's a title, that it's, you know, some understanding. That's true. It is a title. It's not Jesus' surname. Jesus' surname was not Christ, okay? He was Jesus of Nazareth. He was the son of Mary and Joseph, you know. That's how people in his day understood him to be. But he was given this title of Christ because it meant Messiah. It meant anointed one. People were waiting for this Christ. And when someone claimed to be the Christ, which wasn't unusual, the people waited and watched to see if this Messiah was going to be the real deal. Would this Christ be the one who was going to actually overthrow the oppression of the people, whether it be of the various different nations and the oppression that was coming upon the people and upon their religion and their practice to be able to worship in the temple. And they would sit back and they would watch, or they would engage, but they would still watch to be able to see, is this the true Christ? Is this the true Messiah? Or is it just another Messiah wannabe? Jesus had a totally different understanding of the kingdom of God than everybody else. And therefore, he had a totally different understanding of what it meant to be the Messiah, to be the Christ, to be the anointed one. How that kingdom was going to break into the world in which the people lived within in his time. He knows they're all waiting for a king to ride in triumphantly and to overthrow at this time the Roman Empire that was, you know, making the Israelites submit to their authority in every aspect of life. Remember, Jesus was born a king. That's why you get Herod the Great, who wants to kill him when he finds out these magi who have traveled so far because on the faith of a star in the sky they were going, you know what, there's a new king. It's about time that there's a new king, a new Christ, a new Messiah for the Jewish people. And Herod the Great, he's no lineage of King David, but he doesn't want another king stepping in either. And when Jesus starts his ministry at about 30 years of age, he goes to be anointed. But don't think of it like a coronation like today, that this new king now is coming to be the one that's sat in the throne room and sat up on the throne and the crown placed above his head. And it's not like that at all. In fact, when Jesus is coming to be anointed as this anointed one, he gets baptized by John the Baptist, his cousin, in the River Jordan. And this is a very significant moment in the ministry of Jesus, because at this time of his anointing, he's anointed by the Holy Spirit. And then John announces this very interesting thing. John doesn't point to Jesus and say, "Hey, behold, the Messiah, the one who's going to come and overthrow the Roman Empire, and we're just going to, you know, cover us all in glory." Not at all. John points to Jesus, and it's recorded in John chapter 1, verse 29, and he says this, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." There are a lot of people in Jesus' day who would like to have claimed the title of Messiah or Christ. Guess how many people were calling themselves the Lamb of God? That's right. No one. What happens to the Lamb of God? Well, you know, each time of the year, at this particular time in the Jewish culture, they stopped to celebrate Passover. Each family would select a lamb, a lamb that they would then, you know, slaughter so that they might carry out the feast that they've been celebrating, this feast called Passover, a time where they would remember that as a people held in captivity, that Jesus that the Lord back in the time of when they were there in the captivity of the Egyptians, and he would now come and set them free. And they were told to take this lamb, to slaughter it, and to put the blood on the doorposts, and that the angel of death would pass over them. And the next day, that's when they'd be able to get out and under the oppression of these Egyptians, they'd be able to flee. And so at this very time, this time before Passover, Jesus is here, and he's the Lamb of God. He's the one now that is called out by John as this one who was going to come. This idea for the people of Israel of Passover was one of celebration and remembrance that God was their Savior, that he was the one who would take them out and free them, the one in whom they saw the power and the miracles of God at work to rescue them, to sustain them, and to establish them again as his people free. But it was also a time where they stopped to be able to remember that not everything's right. Things are messy. Things are broken. We all need this idea of help. We can't make it right. We need forgiveness. We need for it to be atoned for. We can't do it ourselves. We need a way maker, someone to make a way for us. Well, Jesus was that way maker. Jesus' message is that our problem is not like a Roman Empire problem for a group of people some 2,000 years ago. It's a problem not that's just out there somewhere that I can isolate myself. It's somebody else's problem. The problem that we all face is a problem that's here. It's an internal problem. And Jesus, the Waymaker, the Messiah, he's come, but he hasn't come just for Israel. He's come for the whole world. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And it's not just the world out there. It's the world in here. It's the world that constrains us and conforms us into its image instead of his image. And the Messiah comes to be able to free us from that captivity, from that slavery. We all have our own stories. We all want a Messiah, a Christ, a way maker who is strong, who'll fix things up, who'll make all things right, make the circumstances the way we think they ought to be rather than the way they are. Perhaps a little more progressive towards this idea of utopia. But we need a Messiah who's going to fix things in here first. We need someone who will make a way so that we can be at peace with God. Our real problem is that we all want to be our own Messiah. We're a whole bunch of wannabe messiahs. Someone said that, you know, the human race is a people who are contained within a messiah complex, every single one of us. And unfortunately, that's kind of like the human condition. It happened a long, long time ago in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 3, verse 5, we read God, and he says this to Eve when it's being tempted, she's being tempted by the serpent. And the serpent says this, God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. See, the only solution is that we stop playing Messiah. We stop playing Christ. We stop playing the one who can set us free and reach out to the one who can. There's this story of a woman who was teaching Sunday school, and she was teaching the creation story, and she thought she'd get real creative by gathering all the kids together and getting them to do their stuff. And, you know, so they did one of those dramatized approaches to things, and everyone had a role. I imagine, you know, there were animals out there and all of those sorts of things. But right at the beginning, as the story goes, they needed someone to climb up on top of a ladder with a torch to be able to press it when God said, let there be light, and there was. And so she's organizing all the kids around her to be able to do all of this, get everything right amongst themselves, and then she feels this little tug at her skirt, and she kind of looks down and looks around, and it's this little fella who was selected to be the guy with the torch up the ladder, and he just looks at her and he says, Miss, I just think I'm too crazy to be God today. What a great way to start every day. Honestly, we could pray that every day. I'm just a little too crazy to pretend to be God today. That's a good thing. Like, if you get nothing else out of this message, you could just say it out loud right now. I am not the Messiah. I am not the anointed one. That's not my job. Let God do his job and I'll do mine. But that's where we all are. Even as Christians, we're kind of like Messiah wannabes in recovery. If you've never received him as your waymaker, your Messiah, I'm going to give you an opportunity towards the end of the service today to do that. Jesus comes as Messiah, but he's not just the Messiah. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Your sin, my sin. And no one ever thought that the Messiah, no one ever thought the Waymaker would come as the Lamb of God to be slain, to be killed. No one ever thought that. Certainly not the people in Jesus' day. He's trying to let his disciples in on the fact that this is what's going to happen. The idea of him being a different kind of waymaker, not the Messiah like they all thought he was going to be. Not the one who's going to ride in and take over by violence or aggression or by force to, you know, oppose the enemies. The kingdom's not the way people thought it was going to be. And the Messiah did not come in the way that the people thought it was going to come. And then the time did come. It's what we celebrate at Easter. It was just before the Passover feast, and Jesus knew that his time was drawing near, and it was time for him to leave the world and join his Father in heaven. And John records it like this in John chapter 13, verse 1. It says, having loved his own who were in the world, he now loved them to the last. Another version puts it like that. This, it says, now he showed them the full extent of his love. That's what we're going to look at this Easter. Today, Palm Sunday, it prepares us to get our hearts ready for the Waymaker, to open ourselves to the one who made a way for us to be reunited with the Father. The staggering lengths that Jesus went to display his love and the extent of it in order to show us his love, in order to make a way for us to know the Father's love. But today, as it was for Jesus, is Sunday before Passover. Sometimes called the day of Jesus' triumphant entry, Palm Sunday, just like we've talked about. The Sunday before Passover for the Jewish people, though, was called Lamb Selection Day. This goes way back to Old Testament times. You can read about it in Exodus chapter 12. And in there it says, on the 10th day of the month, each man is to select a lamb for his own family. The lamb was to be without blemish, the very best, a spotless lamb. And the lamb was to die on the following Friday, but be selected this Sunday. Its life was to be given a sacrifice. And it's on Lamb Selection Day that Jesus comes riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. Now, Jerusalem's full of people, more than double the normal population, or even more. It is packed out. Passover, it's this time when everyone's coming in. People came for the Passover, and this was the single most likely time that a Messiah, a Christ, was going to rise up and overthrow the Roman Empire. And the Romans knew it too. They would double up on all the regiments and the guards that were there walking the streets at this time as well. And then Jesus comes riding into Passover, into Jerusalem, in the midst of this throng of people, and he rides in on a donkey. Now, that doesn't miss the attention of the people. We might say, big deal, a donkey. Why wasn't he on some stallion? Why wasn't he riding in like the true king that he was, the true king that they were expecting? But that's significant too. There's a prophecy in the book of Zechariah in the Old Testament, and the prophet says, say to the daughter of Zion, that is the people of Israel, see your king, the anointed one, the Messiah, comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. And by the way, in the verse just before it, the prophet says, never again will an oppressor overrun my people. The people know this book. They know this prophecy. They know what this means. It's Lamb Selection Sunday. And Jesus comes riding into Jerusalem at Passover on a donkey. And when the people see this, things start to happen. People are stirred. They see this man who everyone's been talking about, this miracle worker, this prophetic man, this man who taught like no one else has ever taught, this man who's raised the dead, comes riding into Jerusalem. This fearless man, this man who they think just might be the Messiah, just might be the one that's going to make a way for them. And all of a sudden, things just start to go crazy. They throw down their cloaks on the road. They rip down these palm branches. Let me tell you, the palm branch symbol at that time was a sign of rebellion to the Roman Empire. This wasn't just, oh, what's the closest branch? They're waving these branches. They're laying them down because it's a sign of rebellion against the Roman Empire. This is their Messiah. Finally, he's going to come. This is how he's arriving. He is the one. And they start shouting out and they start being stirred up. Now, this is a powder keg right now in Jerusalem, and the Roman Empire is not going to stand for it, but they don't care because this is the one. He's the man. And they start shouting, Hosanna. Hosanna, we sometimes think, is a kind of a word for blessedness or praise or, you know, all that type of thing. But actually, it was more a political word than it was a word of worship or religion. Hosha means to save, to deliver, to help. And Na means please. And it gives it this sense of urgency. Hosanna. Messiah, help us. Son of David. Remember, the king, kings were anointed ones. The son of a king, Jesus, is in the line of King David. Would you rescue us? Help us. Free us from these Romans. You're the way maker. It's Lamb Selection Sunday. And God is saying, I've chosen a lamb for you. He's going to make a way for you. He's without blemish, and he will sacrifice his life on a cross so that your sin and your guilt can be washed away clean. But that's not kind of Messiah that they were looking for. The people were obviously, on this day of Jesus' triumphant entry, were all thinking, now it's going to happen. Now he's come to finally stop doing these other things and actually go after the thing which need to happen. He's going to restore the worship in the temple to its rightful place, and he's going to come against this Roman rule. And what Jesus does next probably staggers them. And Luke records it in chapter 19 of his gospel like this, in verse 41. As Jesus approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. Can you imagine what's going on in their minds? They see the Messiah coming in on a donkey and he's crying. And he says, if you'd only known, this day would not bring you peace, but even now they don't see it. It's Lamb Selection Sunday, but they don't even want the lamb that God has chosen. What about you? Need a waymaker? Do you need someone who's going to come in and make a way for you to be at peace in your heart, to be at peace with your Creator, to be in relationship with your Father in heaven? Do you need this waymaker, this Messiah, to come and to free you from all the external oppression, the stuff that you're feeling right now, the other things that are going on and around us, whether it be economic oppression, whether it be physical oppression, whether it be mental oppression, whether it be the torment inside of us? Behold the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world for everyone. To me, the Messiah complex is quite puzzling. Every human being who has ever lived on this earth, from the illusions of grandeur and sufficiency, every human being who's ever lived rebels against being servant, every human being who's ever lived has suffered from the Messiah complex except one, and he was the Messiah, Jesus. You see, when we want to run our own lives, when we want to go on sinning against God, when we hope for just something a little more progressive, just to be a little more educated, a little smarter, a little bit more tolerant of others, that we can move this whole thing forward, is trying to find the kingdom without the king. But Jesus becomes the waymaker for the entrance of the kingdom to come. We don't have the right to be the Messiah. Only Jesus fulfills that role. And now it's time, I just want to get a little personal with you. I want to ask you, have you ever let this man Jesus, have you ever let him be your waymaker? Have you ever let him be your Messiah? Have you ever said, Jesus, I'll become your follower? I want to give you a chance in just a moment to do that in a real and concrete way in just a few moments. There's not one person that's watching now that's perfect. If you ask Jesus to be your friend, if you ask Jesus to be your forgiver, if you ask Jesus to be your waymaker, your guard and your guide, he'll help you figure these things out. You'll get through it together. He's going to be your waymaker to make things right, to make a way for eternal relationship with your Father God in heaven. You know, the best of us watching here, no matter where you're sitting, no matter where you're tuning in from, the best of us is that we're just a Messiah wannabe in recovery. The question that Jesus asked a couple of thousand years ago, and he asks of it today, who do you say I am? We're going to take some time to pray now. And I'd like you to talk to God. I want it to be something that is going to be something that comes from your heart. And if you haven't decided to commit your life to Jesus, the way maker, if you've been trying to make a way, if you've been trying to follow another way, if you've been trying to do all of those sorts of things, it's time where he says, I've made a way. And on this Lamb Selection Day, this Palm Sunday, Jesus can free you. And you can celebrate with him the freedom known from the weight of our sin as he comes and he makes a way for us to be set right, to be cleansed from all unrighteousness, to be forgiven of all our sin, and to inherit an eternal life and a life of abundance and meaning and purpose right here, right now in his kingdom. Right now, I'm going to get some words popped up on the screen that are going to help you maybe phrase a prayer. And if you can say these words and you mean them from the heart, it might be that after we do this together in just a moment, that you'd like to also, on your chat feed, press a button that says, I'd like to commit my life. I'd like to receive Jesus today. That's a totally private chat then. You can go on and after just popping your hand up by signifying, yes, that's me. I want to receive the Waymaker. We can go to a private conversation with one of our pastors online right now. But as these words now come onto your screen and I'm going to pray them, why don't you pray them too? To make Jesus your way maker, the one who made a way for the forgiveness of your sins, the Lamb of God who's taken away the sins of the world. Let's pray. God, I'm beginning to understand how much you love me. I need you to make a way for me. I acknowledge my sin. I confess that I've damaged other people and myself and I've hurt you. Would you forgive me for my arrogance, my pride, my need to be in control. I need you to make a way for me to come into relationship with Father God. Jesus, I accept your amazing and undeserved love expressed through your sacrifice in dying for me. I surrender my life into your control. I want to make you the leader and the forgiver of my life. Would you now fill me with your Holy Spirit's presence? I want to live for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank you so much for joining with us today. I particularly would urge you that if today it is that you've made a decision to follow Jesus after he has made the way for you, then would you please get in touch now on those chat forums with one of our pastors so that they can help you and lead you further in your newfound relationship with Jesus. Thanks for joining us today, and I trust that as we just finish out with our heart in worship, that you would also join us in this upcoming season of Easter for Good Friday and again for Easter Sunday later in the week. God bless.
Thanks for listening to this River Life podcast. Make sure you subscribe to keep up to date with all the latest content. If this podcast has raised any questions for you, contact us via church@riverlifechurch.org.au or through Facebook and Instagram. Thanks for listening.